You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
We hope that you're having a great Wednesday so far. It is 6 minutes after eight right now. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. The debate over our last topic continued off the air, and I was just, I had to run downstairs, because talk about weird timing. I ran downstairs to give feed the dog, and the doorbell rang. And I don't even sometimes remember we have a doorbell, because nobody comes to our house, which is perfect. But if you hear any, they're doing some work outside my house,
And
they showed up now, and I was like, are you guys going to be using any power tools and stuff? And the guy's like, no, just shovels. I'm like, okay. And then it's always hard to say, well, because I'm on the air upstairs, and they look at me like, what are you, a gamer? No. But the debate over the most hated team continues,
yes.
And Frank is very disgusted with me. Here's the bottom line. I enjoy watching sports. I'm not that invested.
Right.
I don't have the time. I hate so many other things in my life. Hating sports is way down the list of things that I'm going to hate, that I'm going to invest.
Yeah.
I only have so much hate to give. A lot of people say they only have so much love to give. I only have so much hate to give. And I'm really at the bottom of my hate barrel
when it comes to sports. I have a hard time hating good rivalries. Good historic rivalries, too. Right?
Like I hate really fans,
yes.
Not teams.
Yes.
I hate fan bases. That's where my hate comes in.
Let me jump in real quick.
Oh, here's Frank.
Okay,
he's coming to chastise
ahead.
Me.
Oh,
so
okay. Take my
this.
Man card.
We're doing this.
I get this.
Forget stuff.
You're the producer, Frank. Okay, we're doing this.
I get the argument. And I asked Brian what his Mount Rushmore, so his top four most hated teams are. Now, I get the storied rivalry thing. As a Michigan fan, I do not put Ohio State as my top four most hated because I respect what they do over there because they run a great program and their facilities are nice and I don't hate them. However, I do hate Michigan State because I sat in a parking lot for 2.5 hours because they don't know how to direct traffic and they have a little brother syndrome.
That's all right. Legit.
There are reasons. There
fair,
are layers
fair,
to
fair.
The hatred,
course,
which is why
course.
I asked. You saying you don't hate the Packers as a Bears fan because they own us.
They did.
Is
Frank.
All the reason to hate them. They had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row.
Again, why am I going to waste
can't
my
have one.
Why am I going to waste my time and effort hating a team that just there's no you know who I hated in that? I hated the McCaskies during that.
Well,
I didn't
of course.
Hate the Packers. It's not their fault that they're good. It's our fault that we sucked.
Do you know what
That's
I love
why...
about this? Parker and I don't have to say a word.
Nah, I'm just saying, ooh, disagreement within the Bears fans. I like it.
Yeah, well, come on. I mean, I didn't like the Packers. Hate is strong. I didn't like it because they came in and until this year, they just dominated. The Bears.
Yeah.
I loved the old rivalry, but then the rivalry didn't even matter to the teams. So I'm like, if it doesn't matter to the teams,
they do now.
But why should I waste? You know, I'm watching the games. I'm cheering for the Bears. I'm excited about the game. I don't have to hate the other team.
You're not
to
rooting
root for
against
my
the Packers.
Team. I'm rooting for the Bears to win.
There's
Hold on.
Other games. Other games.
Other games. You're not rooting against the Packers. You
Only
don't
if it,
you don't check to see if the Packers
Let me
lost
answer
that
the question.
Go ahead.
Chill out. Step back. It's the cold medication. I'm going to write your rudeness off to that, but I'm not going to put up with it forever. When it comes down to if the Packers lose, will the Bears make the playoffs? Then yes, I'm rooting against the Packers. If they're playing somebody who it doesn't matter, if it's not a divisional game, I don't care. Mm. I don't care.
Wow, that's wrong.
Well,
that's thank you, Parker.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Just wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not. Listen, I have other interests in my life, fellas. I got other things to do.
You don't.
I got a full life. I don't need to. I don't need
oh,
to.
Oh, don't try to be holier than thou. You're the bigger man here.
I root hard for my teams. That doesn't. So I don't waste my energy on the other teams. You know. And it's a lot of it is fan bases. That's why I picked some of the teams I picked in my four, because of their fan bases. I haven't had, maybe because I haven't gone to a game at Lambeau, I see how Bears fans treat Packer fans, and I'm down for good-natured ribbings. I got harassed at a Vikings game because I had a Bears jersey on, so I don't care.
I hope I am harassed. Let me.
I do too. I would expect nothing
less. Up to a line, right?
Right.
Up to a line.
Sure, sure, sure.
Let me tell you, as a Packers fan going to a Minnesota Vikings game during Brett Favre's last year with the Vikings, we had beer dumped on us and rocks thrown at us waiting for the train to get back to our car.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah, that's too much. We had Brett Favre hanging an effigy off the van that we used to have for tailgates. It was painted on the back of the van. So, you know.
Of course. As a Vikings fan who watched him for years, or as a Bears fan who watched him for years, I'm sure there
were. Yes.
Yeah, there were. I'm sure there was.
I guess it's hate. Like, hate to me is an active thing. I disliked when the Packers would come to town. I disliked that they did so well. Their fans didn't bother me, because when the fans would talk smack, they deserve to be able to talk smack, because they just kept smacking us around.
Packers fans don't allow us to talk smack this season after this past season.
Hate takes too much energy. A healthy dislike, sure. You know, do I want them to succeed? Not over me, but if not over the Bears, but if the Bears are out, then I actually don't care, to be honest. You know, I root in the World Series, if I have a team in, or like when the Brewers lose, then I want the team that beat them to go on, just because, well, at least then we got beat by the team that wins it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we didn't get beat by a scrub who got swept immediately after they beat us, then they got swept.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Troy
go
calling
to the
from
phones.
Mount
How
Horeb.
Is this happening? What's up, Troy?
Yeah. You got to root against the Packers no matter who
Thank
they're playing. Because even if we beat the Raiders, we're still 1-0. You know, and if you lose,
yes,
then we're still ahead of you in the standings. So it doesn't matter who we're playing.
Right,
you know.
Rooting against is different. I guess I'm arguing semantics.
You said you didn't,
hate,
though. So.
hate is an active thing. Hate is something that takes a lot of effort. You know,
I'm actually happy the Bears are getting better.
Yeah.
Because that makes the rivalry more fun.
Yes. Agree.
Yes,
I agree with
fun.
You, Troy. I 100% agree.
Frank is based in bitterness. Frank's life is built on grievance. That's how he goes through life. And to be honest, it's a little sad, Frank.
You know, we're only a couple months into the show and you just got that.
No, I just
figured
I just
that one
voiced
out.
It. I just voiced it now. I've known for
Troy,
about 10 minutes.
I
in.
Also, I'm happy that the Bears
Thank
are
you,
doing
Troy.
Better because I want us to hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hate.
He dropped. Okay.
Reds, according to Mr. Plowking, Reds fans are jerks, but I don't care about the team.
Yeah.
That's how I
yeah.
feel about the Cubs.
No, yeah.
I agree. But you would, Brian, would you ever root for the Cubs to win?
No.
Would you actively root against them?
I did not actively root against them when they were in the World Series because I have friends who are misguided Cubs fans. So I was happy for them because I remembered what it felt like when the Sox won the World Series. And so I was happy that my friends who have followed this worthless team through centuries of hard times got to experience some joy. No, I did not actively root against them. I actively root against them when they play the Sox. I actively root against them when they play the Brewers. I am secretly happy if I hear they're in a slump. So
that sounds like hatred to me.
Is it hatred?
Yeah.
All right, if that's your definition of hatred, well, that's why they were on my Mount Rushmore.
By sports standards, I think so.
All right.
You also said the Red Wings were on your Mount Rushmore of hated.
True. Because the Red, again, for, you know, the Red Wings for years came in and they were big rival for the Blackhawks. I should have added the Detroit Pistons to that list.
Bad boys.
I'll take Miami off and I'll put the Detroit Pistons on there because I had an active hatred for them during the 90s.
I think that's legit, though, during
yeah.
the 90s
it's
with the Detroit Pistons.
It's well-deserved.
Yes.
Bill Laimbeer was a piece of garbage, and that whole team was a whiny bunch of babies. So I guess I did. Frank, I've evolved. That's the problem.
You've matured.
Yes, thank you, Jamie. I've matured. I've evolved.
The main point, Parker, is that Brian is busy with other things, unlike us. Brian has a life. We don't.
I don't invest in sports the way some people do. My brothers are just like you guys. They are, man, they're fixated on actively hating teams and doing all that. And if you ask my brothers, they would, all four of the Mount Rushmore would have been the Packers. Like a different era of every era would have been represented on Mount Rushmore.
Bart Starr, Brett Favre, yeah, from Aaron Rodgers, going all the way back. Love, all those eras.
Vince Lombardi, garbage. Yeah, they would have put all that. I don't care that much.
When the games are over, I think I'm done. Right? Like you yeah. watch the games. If it was a bad game, you ruminate on it maybe for a little bit, and then I don't know. I end up getting distracted by something else.
No.
I want my team to win.
It ruins your day.
It ruins my
day.
Oh,
it might ruin a couple of days.
No.
Wow.
And I'm kind of the same way. I'm kind of the same way with the Brewers, but on a lesser extent because that's just too exhausting. It's only for the rest of the day I'm ruined.
Wow. Okay. All right.
You live and die by the team, Jamie.
Jamie, I will forever be haunted of the vision of Aaron Rodgers running out of the locker room in 2018 after injuring his knee and leading the Packers to a comeback win over the Bears and Khalil Mack in that defense.
Gosh, I forgot
about
that game.
I'll never forget it. That was 8 years ago.
I forgot about that game.
That was a good one.
I didn't.
It was a good one.
I never
one.
Will.
You're
I
think right.
I was so angry.
Game. Oh, it was a great game, but no, I forgot about that moment.
I think Bart Starr was at that game. I think they honored him during halftime.
He was.
Right. Yeah. I remember that game.
Yeah.
He actually played in that game.
That's how long ago it was.
Wow. Is there anything we need to know?
Yeah, we're gonna have to get to it in the next segment because we turned into a sports show, which was great. Listen, this is if hate fuels you, God bless you. Go ahead. I love to root for my teams. I actually don't care about other teams.
Yeah.
So,
but
unless
to care
they're
about
playing,
to care about
I
your
care
team,
about
Brian. Other teams
I'm
have
aware,
to be bad
but,
for
but
your
Parker,
team to be
I'm
good.
Aware,
hold on.
I'm aware of the other teams.
Wait a second.
Yes, Frank.
Wait a second.
Yes, Frank.
Jamie is a hater. Low key. Jamie, what team do you hate?
Oh.
What team do I hate?
We have not asked Jamie, and
yeah,
I know
that's
Jamie's
true.
A hater.
She skated away on this.
What team do I hate?
Do you hate the Vikings?
You've only had 45 minutes to formulate.
I don't hate the Vikings. I hate the fans. The fans
in
make
turn,
it
do you
miserable.
Hate the Vikings?
No, I don't. It's okay. A rivalry.
The Vikings are just annoying.
It's not as big of a rivalry as the fans think it is. It's not like the Packers and the Bears, right? But Minnesota fans want to make it this massive deal because Brett Favre played for them for like 3 days.
Right,
three
for
years.
A cup of coffee.
Yeah,
cup of coffee.
I mean, honestly, and it's not as big of a deal as they make it out to be, at least not to Packers fans. But that would be the closest I have to hating a team. But it's mostly how the fans
what
make it.
What about the Bears,
thing.
Jamie? How do you feel
I
about
the
Bears?
I love the rivalry between them. I have mad respect
how
for the rivalry.
How do you feel about the Bears? You love the rivalry. How do you feel about the Bears?
I think the Bears are fine. I hate that they're winning, but I like the Bears as a team, and I like the fact that they're getting better.
Never
You're not
forget.
Yelling at Jamie, Frank.
The Bears still suck.
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed in both of you.
Wow.
Parker and I are the only two true sickos on this show.
We
That's
knew
what
that.
I've learned.
Let's be honest. We knew we were the
Yeah, we did know that. Take a little more Sudafed. We'll talk to you in a little bit. All right. It's Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You are listening to the Civic Media Network, and I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And another thing about the Packers, we're done with sports talk for now, but it was fun. And we're glad everybody chimed in. So we're going to call it. Mix things up a little bit.
Yeah.
And since we didn't do it at the top of the hour, we still need to give you some S you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
This is a very Wisconsin-centric edition of Stuff You Need to Know.
It is.
Which is good. Harley-Davidson reported a first quarter profit of $25 million, down significantly from $133 million at this point last year. The motorcycle maker reported the results May 5th, along with a new strategy called Back to the Bricks, which it is hoping will change its fortunes for the year. Motorcycle sales did increase 14% in North America to 23,800 units. Overall, motorcycle shipments were down globally to roughly 37,000 motorcycles. In terms of motorcycle sales, the company saw an 8% increase globally. Their licensing did increase. The electric motorcycle, which seems to go against everything Harley was built on, right. But I know it's a sign of the times. LiveWire reported $5 million in revenue. That's up about $2 million from last year. So it's also reported an $18 million loss, which is also an improvement, which sounds weird. But that's an up from $20 million loss in the first quarter. So they sold more this year, but they lost a bunch. And the new CEO, Jonathan Root, said the global tariff environment continues to evolve. There are a number of factors at play in this space, including the potential for increased tariff recoveries, Root said. Company is expecting a first quarter to have the largest tariff impact at $45 million. As part of the new strategy, the company plans to lean heavily on its dealership network to enable dealers to double profitability in 2026, then double it again by 2029. However, much like the administration, they were not specific about how those goals are going to be accomplished.
Let's be realistic. This was not unexpected. We actually talked about the potential for this a few weeks ago. They're not also going to be the only company that is probably going to see these types of losses based on the tariffs. None of this is surprising because the tariffs have wreaked havoc on manufacturing and the economy of the United States. None of this is surprising, but I do love that they're going to go with this back to the bricks strategy, which kind of sounds like they're going back to rethinking things, going back to a more simplified structure. I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We will see. What else do we need to know?
Well, it turns out that there's a salmonella outbreak across the state, and it's at this point sickened dozens of people. And it's not just in Wisconsin. It is across multiple states. But it does include this great state. It's been linked to backyard poultry, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Urban chicken farmers? That's what you're telling
me? That's right. All right. So the salmonella cases have been reported in 13 states, with 34 people sickened by the bacteria, including 13 who were hospitalized. Now, no deaths have been reported. The illness has started between late February and late March. 5 cases have been reported in Wisconsin, according to the CDC. Public health officials have linked backyard poultry to this outbreak. Of the 29 people interviewed, 23 reported contact with backyard poultry, 14 people reported owning backyard poultry, and 13 had obtained the animals after January 1st. Now, it usually takes about 3 to 4 weeks to determine if a sick person is part of an outbreak, so some of these recent illnesses may not have been reported yet.
Good.
CDC investigators in Ohio confirmed that backyard poultry had the same strain of salmonella as humans with confirmed cases. Even chickens or ducks that appear healthy can carry salmonella. Touching the birds or their environment and then touching your mouth, your food, is a common way to transmit salmonella. Of course, some basic, just hygiene practices, always good if you don't want to catch salmonella, like washing your hands, maybe not eating or drinking after you work with birds. Those types. Don't snuggle your backyard poultry.
I said, don't
poultry.
Kiss or snuggle backyard poultry. So remember that with your ducks that are nesting outside.
No.
We're ducks.
We're leaving them alone, but we're admiring from afar. Regardless of how transmission happens, people infected with salmonella can experience diarrhea, fever, and stomach cramps. Those symptoms can start 6 hours or 6 days after swallowing the germs. Children under 5, adults over 65, and anybody with a weakened immune system may experience more severe symptoms like extreme diarrhea, vomiting while not keeping liquids down, as well as dehydration. So that's unfortunate. with your backyard flock. Look, I have friends who have chickens. I'm cool with that, but
this is strange. The house we moved into has a giant chicken coop.
Okay.
And I joked with my wife, should we start raising chickens?
Sure.
Somebody in the neighborhood raises chickens because I hear the roosters going in the morning and I hear the chickens clucking during the day. It seems like a very hipster move to me. Oh, I want to collect my own eggs.
My
and
friends
have chickens
do it because of organic farming and because the cost of organic eggs. That's why they do their own.
Is there that big a difference between organic eggs and regular eggs?
I don't know. I don't know. For my friends, it's how they're raised, the cageless versus the humanity. I don't know. I don't try to ask too many questions. I don't love birds, so I don't venture to their backyard when I go over there. Let me be real.
I know. Listen, we're going to. I don't want to get into how chickens are crowded into the things.
I think that's horrible.
Sure, of course.
Eggs, they
have to make the eggs. Nobody's forcing them to make eggs.
Right.
Chickens have to lay eggs. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just if you're living in an apartment building in downtown Madison, do you really need to be farming chickens in your backyard? It just seems it's like, ooh, look at how cool and special I am. And it's like, dude, you live two blocks from the grocery store. Wander down there and get some eggs. Nobody wants to hear your Farmer Jones, you and your overalls standing outside with your handlebar mustache.
Right.
Hipster dork. All right, hey, let's talk a little insurance. Maybe your property was damaged in the storm. We'll give you some answers. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you are having a great Wednesday. If you're listening in Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS or in La Crosse on WLCX or in Hayward on WBZH, we are glad that you are joining us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. The severe storms that tore through Wisconsin last month left homeowners dealing with damage not only to their homes but their property. As they file their insurance claims, some people are finding that their legitimate claims are being denied. Now, according to data from the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, in 2023, insurance companies denied more than 37% of homeowner claims, resulting in hundreds of lawsuits around the country alleging that some of those claims were wrongfully denied. So what can homeowners do in Wisconsin after a storm as they navigate the insurance claims process? And what are the options if a claim is denied? Justin Wallace is an attorney. He is also president of the Wallace Insurance Law Group. He joins us now to answer those questions. Justin, thanks for being here. So we've passed the point now where most folks have looked over their storm damage. But in general, if more severe storms were to roll through this summer, what are the first steps a homeowner should do after the storm passes?
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys. First steps are pictures. Document what actually happened to your structure. The next thing you want to be thinking about is how do you want to fix your structure, home, garage, that sort of thing. And one thing I tell folks with new insurance claims is that insurance companies don't just pay numbers. They don't just pay you. You give them a number to pay. So I tell people to get your contractor out there and say, hey, it's going to cost $30,000 to fix the damage. Here's an estimate for the repairs. Send that over to your carrier because, if they're not going to pay for the damage, at least that gives they're turning down something solid, and they can't come into court later and say, man, these guys just wanted money. We didn't even know what they wanted.
You say take the photos and to make your documents. How detailed do people actually need to be to make the process run smoother?
Yeah. So let me take a step back a little bit. Once the claim happens, you have kind of some limited options. Let me talk a little bit about if that's okay. What I'm seeing in the modern state of the insurance industry and what people are probably feeling after both the August of 2025 storms in Milwaukee and then the more recent storms that have come through. We've gotten a ton of calls from people, and one of the questions that we get asked a lot is, should I make a second claim? Like I made a claim for that first, you know, when the flooding in Milwaukee in particular in August, now I have another water claim. Like if I make two claims in 8 or 9 months, are they just going to drop me? And, you know, one of the things I like to tell people is all insurance is a promise that they're going to pay for damage to your property if it happens. And so if you have decided I am not going to ask them to pay for damage to my property, you have concluded that your insurance is worthless.
that makes sense.
It doesn't do anything else for you. And this is a group think that some of the insurance companies are trying to kind of get into people's heads is, well, you have this insurance and you paid for it, but do you really want to use it? And the answer is yes. Yes, you do.
Well, but in one Wisconsin county, the homeowner denials have gone up 150% because they're being dropped, or 150% more people are being dropped by their insurance. So I guess that does come to your question. Is it worth it? And if not, then do you have to? So let's say I'm with insurance company X right now. I decide, yeah, I have to file that the whole roof is off my house. And they then decide to drop me after that. Do I have any recourse against them? And even if I did, do I want to stay with the company who is then going to deny me when I really need what I've been paying for years without having a claim?
I like how you got there yourself in your second point after the question with the first point. Here's one thing that I will tell people is the homeowner's insurance. There's a reason why you see advertisements for insurance all over the place. People want to insure you. They have actuaries, they have risk managers, they have math guys who figured out it's a good deal for them. So somebody will always provide you with insurance. With one caveat, assuming that you have, like if your roof got blown off your house, like it seems like if I'm an insurance company, that'd be a silly reason not to give somebody another insurance policy, right? Like if that location and that's a good, it's another thing if you're out there doing some fraudy type stuff, but you know, that doesn't apply to most people, but that's the only reason where I think it makes sense for them to consider dropping you. You know, if people make, you know, 5-6 claims that are all a little dodgy, you start to get it after a while, but use your insurance. And if your insurance company tries to tell you that they're going to punish you for it, somebody else will take your money.
There you go.
We're talking with Justin Wallace. He is the president of Wallace Law, wallacelawinsurance.com. I mean, are there common reasons why insurance companies would even give a reason for denying a claim that people should be aware of? Or, I mean, is it just basically whatever they, you know, they're thinking at the moment or what they're seeing in pattern?
Oh, there are all sorts of fun strategies to talk about. So one of the let me give you a couple of starter examples. Your roof has and siding has damage from hail, but it wasn't from this storm. It was from a storm that happened before your statute of limitations. Crazy. Mm. We insured you for 20 years, but we're not going to pay you because we think the storm damage happened a year and a month ago, and you only have a year to bring a lawsuit for hail damage. We see, there's damage on your roof, but it wasn't caused by hail. It was caused because the people who put the shingles on your roof when they installed it, they were just really heavy with their feet and they tromped around a lot and it caused a lot of damage up there. And that's what you're seeing. It's not hailstorm damage. I mean, those are the sorts of things that you see on a regular basis. I'm not going to the archives for the good stories. Like these are the frequent flyers on the why is an insurance company not paying your claim a wagon here.
Now, let's go back to something you said at the very beginning, Justin, when after the documentation, you said, have your contractor come out. Now, so are homeowners reliant on the inspectors that the insurance companies come out? Does it make things more difficult if I have my own contractor come out and say, you know, or a roofer come out and make this, you know, I had this before where they come with the chalk and they make all the circles on the roof to make sure the hail damage is there. Does it complicate things for the homeowner? Are the insurance companies more skeptical if I use somebody other than the person they sent out, which logically you would think probably works a little bit for the insurance company?
Yeah, that's a great area to talk about. So you should have having your own contractor is kind of your own baseline. You know, one of the reasons you talk about how more policies are being dropped, and I'll tell you, more hail roof claims are being denied for reasons than ever before. And actually in Oklahoma, the attorney general has sued State Farm as a RICO criminal organization for systemically denying payments to individual homeowners after storms. They're facing problems in Colorado and California as well. It's a systemic effort to not pay people for their losses. And that's fundamentally what you're seeing. And so one of their best scapegoats is after a storm comes through. I think most people in Wisconsin are familiar with this now, especially a hailstorm. You get people knocking on your door. Hey,
yep.
Hey, I think you got some damage on your roof. I think it's going to cost a lot of money to fix it. Why don't you let me work something up for you? And those people, like the estimates end up being high. Oftentimes they're just out there to try to make a buck on your roof as opposed to trying to figure out whether or not there's damage that needs to be repaired on your behalf. And that has made the insurance companies more and more skeptical of a lot of these claims. And so when I say get your local contractor involved, that's almost to the exclusion of the guy knocking on your door.
If you
get the guy knocking on your door involved, all of the wrong bells and whistles are going to go off in everybody's brains. If you get your guy down the street who does the construction work in your area, that's going to give it a more kind of authentic feel to it. And you can say, look, this guy's actually going to do the work himself. He's not going to sub out some people from Illinois, you know?
Yeah.
If there's people right now listening and they're going through they've had storm damage, they're going through this insurance process right now. Insurance isn't responding. They're slow walking. What options does the homeowner have? And when do they get somebody like you involved in the process to help expedite these things so they can get on with life?
Yeah, no, great. Thanks for that opportunity. So you get somebody like me involved. I litigate insurance denials and extreme delays. And so once your insurance company says, we are paying you X, that is all we're ever paying you in a million years, that's when you want to start to get on the phone and think, okay, I don't think X doesn't work for me. I don't think X is fair. Let's contact a lawyer to work on the process. However, before that, there's a lot of process to do. I would, if you're not hearing back, if there are delay issues, be obnoxious about sending them emails. Just the, hey, I haven't heard, and be specific, right? Today is Wednesday. I sent you guys emails last Monday, last Friday, last Wednesday. I have not heard any responses. Am I missing your responses? Just be pedantically obnoxious about how you're just trying to get a response from them. Because I can guarantee you when you hire somebody like me, what the insurance company is say, well, we were actually trying to get a hold of you and you wouldn't answer your phone, you know, that sort of thing. Well, if you check your phone records, you might see that you missed a call from us back in the, and so it's like, well, we sent this, here are the 15 emails we sent you over the course of 3 months with all of these requests. Like, you know, and it just makes the documentation a little bit more in your favor. Tell them what you want them to do and what they're not doing right.
Justin, in your practice, besides the roofs, like you were talking about, and the hail damage, what else are you seeing as big areas for denial that people are contacting you about?
Yeah. And so with the storms and everything, I kind of came on to talk about property damage. I also health insurance claims. If your health insurance company is not paying your health insurance, your medical bill. I also deal with life insurance type situations. I really will go after any insurance company that made you a promise that's not, they're not living up to. And a lot of that, especially in the last couple of years with the storms in Wisconsin, has been property damage related. But we do all sorts of stuff over here, and we look forward to the opportunity to just help people get what they paid for.
And as we start wrapping up here this morning, we've talked a lot about homeowners, but can you speak about the option small business owners or maybe even landlords have if there's storm damage to their properties?
Yeah, be more attentive to that if you don't live there. And I would even consider, especially if you're in a commercial property, there are public adjusters in Wisconsin that what they are is they're effectively your claim adjuster. And a lot of them have worked for insurance companies. And so if you need help with a situation. It's just early on and you're feeling like you're not getting anywhere. A public adjuster call can be helpful to just because they can put the documentation in a way that the insurance companies like it to pay for it.
Justin, we've got about a minute left. Could you just real quick, what is the Unfair Claims Settlement Practices Act?
Yeah. So
Wisconsin
has a very weak law that tries to protect policyholders from insurance companies. Courts have largely whittled away at it. Wisconsin's in the middle of the road in terms of how easy it is to sue your insurance company. In California, I feel like if they suggest that they're not going to pay your claim, you just get millions of dollars. And in Alabama, I feel like if they kick you in the face, nobody cares.
Justin, we got to go. But if you have any insurance law questions, WallaceInsuranceLaw.com is where you go. Talk to Justin. Very high energy. He'll get things done for you. WallaceInsuranceLaw.com. Justin, thanks very much.
Appreciate you guys.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Are you mowing your grass or are you adhering to No Mow May? It's 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I understand ecology. I was thinking of maybe planting a pollination garden this year. I can't go with No Mow May. If you don't know, No Mow May is just like it sounds. You're not supposed to cut your grass during May. Let those dandelions and let your grass grow and everything is great. And then bees and butterflies and all sorts of insects come and they pollinate and everything and it helps nature and your neighbors hate you and you can't bear to look out the door because your yard looks like an overgrown nut place. But I don't even know what an overgrown nut place is. But Mark,
people who participate No Mow May. That's
they're a little nuts.
I get what they're trying to accomplish.
I understand the principle behind it. And like where I'm thinking of putting our pollination garden is some old flower beds that aren't being used anymore. And I was like, now that would be a nice wild grow area.
Yeah.
I can't see letting my whole yard go that way. But That's the deal. Short manicured lawns don't offer much food or shelter for pollinators. They need flowers and places to rest and nest. The reality is, according to UW-Madison people, it really depends on what's actually in your yard.
Yeah.
If your lawn's just grass, turf grass, letting it grow longer doesn't mean much to pollinators. If your lawn... it doesn't give the thing. So, I have a lot of weeds in my yard.
If it's just grass, right, your bees can't really do much with just grass. Butterflies don't really do with much anything with grass. To me, it just feels like if it's just grass, you're just doing this as an excuse to not mow for an entire month.
Yeah, you're just lazy. Are you ecologically minded?
Right.
Or are you devolving into sloth, and I would vote for the second.
I do admire the people because when we lived in the Twin Cities, I'd run into these yards periodically where they got rid of all of their grass and it was just these beautiful flowers and plants. And then it was all so that they could pollinate and so they had areas. I like the garden
idea
better. But
do you live next to them?
No, I do not live next to them.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. I could also never do that because I don't have a green thumb. I need things that just kind of take care of and handle themselves if I'm going to have something in my yard or even in my house, which is why.
Are these the same hipsters that are having their backyard chickens?
I was just going to say, if you hate chickens in your yard, you're really going to hate this concept. But I feel like I could never personally do it because I am not a good plant person. I don't actually know what to grow. I'm sure I could learn. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I'm not opposed to it if that's what you want to do. Hey, it's your yard. That's cool. But at the same time, I could never do it, which is why I do like the idea of a pollinating garden like you're talking about.
A pollinating garden is because,
like,
one, you don't have to get a permit. Because in a lot of places, like Milwaukee, and I'm guessing Madison as well. Mm-hmm. You have to get a permit if you're going to let your yard just go to seed.
Yeah.
You can't.
Right. In fact, there's several cities across this state. De Pere, Fond du Lac, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids. Those are all places that have completely dropped this program.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, No Mo May, I could understand for a lot of people, could turn into No Mo June and No Mo July.
Well, listen, I saw one butterfly. I'm never mowing the lawn again.
It landed. Really? It landed right there.
And I guess maybe because I have a lot of wooded land and stuff there. Yeah. I see a lot of bees around my yard.
Yeah.
I see butterflies when they come out. So, and I did send Debbie. I saw an article in the Journal Sentinel the other day about what you need to grow in Wisconsin to get a pollinator garden. And I was like, all right, well, this is a good
start.
Because like you, Jamie, I don't know what about it. It's not just weeds. It's not just grass. You got to put certain things in there, succulents and whatnot.
I know. And I do love the new approach that some cities like Appleton are taking, where they call it slow-mo summer. So what this is more of a focus on mowing less often, but still mowing, taking care of the yard, and planting low-growing flowers like clover or creeping thyme, and also cutting back on the pesticides, because UW says it's not about the tall grass, as research finds. Duh, because if you know what butterflies and bees land on, it's not grass. It's about having the right plants to attract them.
Yes.
And that's essentially what it is. So if you want to participate in No Mow May, might need to do a little research instead of just, you know, taking the oil out of the lawnmower
and
or
tell
not
your
starting
neighbors,
it up. Yeah.
Just go, listen, Bob, it's not that I've let my place go down. I'm not trying to drive down the home comps around here. I'm just trying to get more butterflies and bees. And I'm sure your neighbor will go, oh, good, that's what we want. More bees near the yard. That's fantastic. Thanks.
A lot of researchers also recommend that if you are somebody, and because let's be realistic, honeybees especially are becoming endangered, right?
Yes,
I mean,
it is
a major issue, and they are a major a part of our food source and our food chain. But if you want to help them and you want to help any sort of pollinator, researchers also recommend any sort of flowering plant to your lawn, which might be a better option than mowing altogether. Now, even if you don't want to do that, maybe you just want to put some really great pots of flowers outside, right? Because that also helps, and you're also helping contribute. And not,
there's a lot of ways to do it and not
angering
look like
your
you're
neighbors.
Living in an abandoned home.
Don't anger
just
the neighbors.
Stop.
Even if you don't have a great relationship with them, you still have to live next to them.
Correct. This time of the year, I miss, every year in school, we used to do that butterfly thing where they'd send you the larva and you'd watch them evolve into butterflies. And even as a heartless grown man, I loved the day when we got to release the butterflies, because when a butterfly sits on your finger.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's really cool. And the kids would go, oh, Mr. Duda, does it hurt?
No,
here, let it sit
so
on your
gentle.
Finger.
They're so gentle.
Oh, I missed that.
I had a friend who at her wedding released over 100 butterflies, and it was in sentiment to their relatives who had passed that couldn't be there that day. It was monarchs. They were beautiful, and they were released into nature, and they did it all through a DNR-type service, so it was all done correctly.
Beautiful.
It was awesome. Awesome.
All right, we're done. We're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Thanks for being part of the show. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson, 8:59. Thank you again for today on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.